Well, this is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Tomorrow marks the 54th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. So for today's program, we would like to step back in history and take a look at that weekend in 1963 from a journalist perspective. One of the really odd moments, in my opinion, was when the suspect in the crime, Lee Harvey Oswald, was brought out for a news conference around 12 hours after the assassination. Can either of you imagine any police agency today giving reporters that kind of access to an accused presidential assassin, or really anyone arrested for just about any crime for that matter?
No, absolutely not. And I think we had to realize that in November 1963, TV coverage was very new. This was something that was very experimental. There was, a lot of things that happened over the course of those 2 or 3 days that followed the assassination that had never been done before. There were investigative specials thereafter. The month before this happened, as a matter of fact, a lot of the major networks had expanded their 15-minute nightly news to a full half hour. And so they were experimenting with new things, with correspondence, with a more fully weighed out newscast. And so I think it was kind of a trial and error by thing where they, you know, having the suspect appear live and on a camera, marching him out on the Sally Port 2 days later, wide out in the open, and inviting the public down in the basement to see that. All these things were unusual, and it really formed new things, that new precautions that were taken today, and gave us a lot of lessons. And a lot of the journalists that were there also got a name for themselves and really kind of formed the practice that we kind of have honed and made more perfect today.
Yeah, it's very obvious that they were not prepared for anything like this. And they had no clue how to deal with it at first. And you'd never see anything like that, you know, like what happened then. I just returned from Dallas just a few weeks ago from a convention where I heard from a couple different journalists who covered the JFK assassination. One was Bob Schieffer. He was in Fort Worth at the time. And then one was Hugh Ainsworth, who witnessed the assassination at Dealey Plaza. He watched Lee Harvey Oswald be arrested, and then later he killed. So he witnessed all three of those things in November 1963. Hugh Ainsworth says, you know, there are a lot of students who asked him this question. Was there some kind of conspiracy there? I mean, what do you think? I mean, there have been so many things written and, you know, and filmed about the JFK assassination, and the students were really curious about it. And he said, you know, like we were just talking about, it was a really different time. 1963 was a very different time. No one was prepared for what was about to occur. And that's why things look so different from our perspective now. Things mm-hmm. look very odd to us because they were not prepared to deal with this. And they dealt with it in a strange manner compared to how we would deal with it now. But he didn't believe that there was any kind of conspiracy, he believed that Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin. I mean, that's been questioned a number of times. But he just said, you know, looking back at it from our perspective, yes, it looks odd. But if you were living at the time and, you know, witnessed all these things, it was, you know, they just obviously were ill prepared.
Yeah, if you think about it, the previous three presidential assassinations happened before there was any TV, even before there was any radio. And so, like Will was saying, I mean, these are especially TV, the live TV journalism was very new still very experimental. And I don't think we had ever experienced anything like that before, where these events are just playing out right in front of you while you're watching in your living room.
These journalists had to really think on their feet with what was happening before them. And I think because of that and the positions they were having and where they were and how they reacted with such an unusual historic catastrophe and event. I mean, that's why you've heard of Walter Cronkite. Of course, we knew Walter Cronkite as the voice of CBS News, but maybe not so much Bob Schieffer until then. This propelled his career. Also, Jim Lehrer and McNeil for PBS. Peter Jennings even was reporting on it for a Canadian television, and 2 years that propelled him to ABC News as one of its youngest news anchors. Dan Rather had a role in reporting the JFK assassination. He was a New Orleans bureau chief at the time who was helping to confirm what had happened and unfolded with Walter Cronkite on the air. When the three networks went on the air that day, they were all within about a minute of each other, going on the air and trying to confirm and work their way through this the best they could. You know, Walter Cronkite was probably the most memorable for the work that he did and trying to be very careful to only give the facts. There were a lot of rumors, and this is pre-internet social media, obviously, but a lot of phone calls coming into the newsrooms into Washington, D.C. and into New York City talking about how the president's dead, but they hadn't confirmed it yet. And Walter Cronkite was very careful. In hindsight, he did it the right way, but he was very careful not to pronounce the president dead until it was official. Sometimes I think it was some half hour after it actually happened from Parkland Hospital. So a lot of precedence was there that I think a lot of journalists, especially TV journalists, used to this very day in handling such a delicate incident like this.
Well, Cronkite, you know, he removed his glasses. He appeared to wipe away a tear when he announced that Kennedy was officially pronounced dead. Jasmine, what do you think the reaction would be to a news anchor acting like that today?
Oh, you know, with something like this, I think people would accept that. I think he was very stoic, and I don't think people would have a problem with that kind of reaction. I think they really set a precedent there with how they did respond to a national emergency. I mean, we saw how people responded at 9/11. There were plenty of news anchors who were emotional at the time and reporting these stories when the World Trade Center had come down. I mean, we've seen things that have been just as shocking in the last 20 years. So I think that kind of reaction would be acceptable.
I think 50 years later, people especially can tell what is genuine emotion and what isn't. I think with, you know, our generation, with the events of 9/11, you know, the previous generation with the JFK, and they say the previous generation of that was Pearl Harbor and how people responded to that. But I think with the TV age that many of us have grown up in, you know, we can sense what is genuine and what might be posing or what might be very disingenuous. And I think to this very day, I think that that video clip that we'll probably be seeing here being replayed for years to come on this anniversary of, Cronkite taking a sincere pause and removing his glasses and then quite quietly kind of collecting himself, putting his glasses back on to tell us that that President Johnson's being sworn in. I think that's still a genuine moment in history, and I think it's set a standard for how a journalist should handle a situation like that live on the air.
Maybe one generation you missed when you were naming some examples would mm-hmm. be regarding the explosion of the space shuttle, the Challenger.
Sure. I remember that.
Which was I don't recall if that was being covered live by many networks, but I know there was a lot of interest in it because a teacher was going to space for the first time. And I think many classrooms were actually watching this.
I had a colleague who was a photographer at a paper I was from. He's from Texas, Houston. And he was watching the blast off live with a daughter of one of the astronauts who perished in that. And you can only imagine the horror of being present in that when he was a kid in junior high or grade school or something like that. So, yes, that was another kind of a milestone of which journalists, TV journalists especially, really had to answer the bell and answer dealing with such a tragic moment like that.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you and to our listeners.
Thank you.
And our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.